You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello all, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here. This week, to look ahead to the Turkish Airlines Open and the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting beside me here in the studio, ready to analyse these two events this week. It's Dave Tindall. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yes, the events keep coming thick and fast, don't they?
They do. It's a good week. It's not a great week, but it's a good week as far as the golf is concerned. First, let's reflect on what happened last week. And Hideki Matsuyama finally found some form with the putter and blew away the field in China, really. We've been waiting for that performance, or a performance of that magnitude from Matsuyama, for some time. And if he can maintain that, maybe look for him to be a threat around Augusta next season, because leading amateur there in 2011, top 10 this year and last year, and putting is always important on those lightning greens at Augusta. But we know his ball striking ability is virtually second to none. He just struggles with the flat stick sometimes, but got his ducks in a row last week and won easily.
He did a great performance by the Japanese player. I mean, he was in form, wasn't he? He'd won his own Japan Open and he'd fifth at the Simb Classic. I guess for a lot of people, his form at that course was a bit odd, wasn't it? I think he'd had two withdrawals and a 41st.
Yes.
It was like, well, I don't know, maybe that's obviously less worse than 350s or something, you know, withdrawals, something was going wrong. But yeah, he did just leap to the front of the field. And like you say, I mean, he's kind of, because there's so many good young players around, he slightly gets pushed to the side a little bit, but his record is really, really good, isn't it? I mean, in the majors as well, you've touched on the majors there.
Yeah.
And his record at Augusta, I mean, he's played well in the Open as well, hasn't he? He's got a couple of, he's got a 6th in the Open, a 10th in the US Open, a 4th in the PGA. So he's top 10 in all four majors already.
Yeah, he's a super
player. 24, so.
And I think sometimes you can overanalyze course form as well. Current form outweighs course form on pretty much every occasion, as far as I'm concerned, Dave. I don't know how you approach it from a betting perspective, but if I think there's a course that's suitable for a player and they've not quite performed there, they are, in my opinion, often overpriced for an event.
Yeah, I think that's a fair show. I do. Maybe I put more thing in course form than maybe you do, I think. Mm. But not to the exclusion of everything else, but I do like to see some course form. It's because, you know, so many golfers are a bit superstitious, a bit kind of things in their heads, they go back somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Cody Gribble, the winner on the PGA Tour, a man we gave a nice mention to on last week's podcast, but didn't put him up. He won the Sanderson Farms Championship, was 10 behind after round one, and went on to win by 4. Incredibly impressive performance, and one that he hinted at given his finish in the Safeway the week prior. So Cody Gribble, I mean, to come from 10 back after round one to win by 4, brilliant performance.
Yeah, I read some quotes. I can't remember whether he said them that week or the week before, where he said he is an aggressive player. So kind of when he's on, I think. He's someone who had got that kind of final round in him where he finished with a rash of birdies. So, yeah, it was great to get a win like that so early in your career. This is sort of what these fall series events are for, aren't they? I think there's a great chance for some of the younger guys who've just graduated to get a win in. Yeah, he was very, very good.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall. We start with the Turkish Airlines Open, and Bernd Wiesberger is the 12-1 favourite here with William Hill. Andy Sullivan is 14-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 16-1. Aniban Lahiri is 20s. Lee Westwood, 20-1. Benny Arne in the betting at 25s, along with Tommy Fleetwood and Alexander Levy. 28-1, Soren Kjeldsen and Danny Willett, and it's bigger prices the remainder. The first event, this one, in the European Tour's final series. But unfortunately, because of security fears in Turkey, the event has been affected by a spate of withdrawals, and the quality of the field has been significantly diminished. Seven of the top 10 in the race to Dubai have chosen to skip the event, which I suppose gives Masters champion Danny Willett the opportunity to take back the number one spot he lost to Henrik Stenson last week and head to South Africa for the second event, the Nedbank, in control of his own destiny. But it's slightly upsetting, I suppose, for the tour more than anyone else, that we haven't got a stellar field for the first of the final series events.
Yeah, it is a shame. Rory's kind of, I think he said, for the obvious reasons, which is the, you know, security concerns. Patrick Reed should have been playing as well, but again, he's withdrawn. Yeah, Danny Willett, he has got the chance to make a leap, but he's kind of us all come at the wrong time. He's lost his form. He had that back injury where he had to pull out of the British Masters. So for him, it's just kind of he's finishing the season slightly sort of chugging along, and everyone's going to go past him, I think. Not everybody, but Stenson did, and McIlroy might at the end.
Yeah, and the landscape in Antalya, where this event is being played, it is very unsettled. So the decision of some of the stars to sit this one out is justified, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to think kind of long-term, haven't they? They think, well, you know, Rory McIlroy actually said, he's kind of said, if he doesn't win the race to Dubai this year, well, he's won it before, he's won the FedEx this year.
He's going to be okay, isn't he, if he passes this one up?
And he's kind of, as well, he's saying, well, if I don't win, it'll be won by Willett or Stenson, who've both won majors this year. I think deep down, I think he's kind of, you know, he's settled in his mind that it's okay. It's not something that's really driving him on.
Punters have a new golf course to work out as well. The last three editions were played at Max Royal Golf Resort. This one will be played at the Regnum Carrier Golf and Spa Resort. Par 72, measuring 7,127 yards, isn't particularly long, and it's apparently a Heathland-inspired golf course, reminiscent to some of those in the UK, like Walton Heath. So it wanders through the tree line and is a course where accuracy over length is probably preferable. Would you agree?
Yeah, it seems to be a kind of, you know, plotter's course where you need to be on the right side of the fairway, hit to the right part of the green. So, yeah, I think it's not just a rip it and grip it type of thing. It's a shame, isn't it? Because we just started to build up a little bank of course.
It happens all the time. Yeah. It seems to happen every single year where you have an event that's been hosted two or three times by the same golf course, and then there's a transition to a different golf course, and you've got to try and work out the demands of that course, and it's frustrating from a punting perspective.
It is. I went to that very first one, the inaugural one.
Okay.
And at the time, obviously, you're thinking, well, I can't work it. This looks quite hard to me. And then Duberson wins with like 20-odd under. It just goes to show, doesn't it, what how good they are. But yeah, I mean, he'll be particularly disappointed. He's won two of the last three at the old course, the Montgomery Max. So, there is a little bit of course form, isn't there? It did hold a Challenge Tour event in 2010.
Yeah.
There's about seven or eight in the field who played in that, the obvious one being Bernd Wiesberger. And he actually did best of those taking part who played it before. He was tied eighth in 2010. So that gives him a little nudge up. But, I mean, he's very, as you would say, he's been found in the market. It's 12 to 1, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's every single time there's a European Tour event without any of the big guns, Bernd Wiesberger is at the top.
Favorite.
He is the default favourite, I think, to a certain extent. I do have a couple of picks for the event. Dave Tindall?
Yeah, I've just got a couple of kind of half a point each way as at big prices.
Okay. I'll lead off then with my first pick. I'm going with Annie Barnes-Lahiri at 20 to 1, a point each way as my first selection here. I think there's just enough juice in the price because I think it's a golf course that he'll enjoy, Annie Barnes-Lahiri. It's the type of test that he relishes with that positional player positive. Superb form as well at the moment, having finished second in Macau and then challenged for the title in the Sim Classic in a stronger field than this one. A Delhi Golf Club, where Lahiri won last year and finished second the year before, appears to have a similar look to this venue in Antalya, although we're obviously guessing slightly. That's a golf course that measures under 7,000 yards and is heavily tree-lined as well, and puts a demand on positional play. Even if it doesn't suit him that well, Lahiri won twice last year, come into this championship playing great golf, and it's a tournament in which I expect him to contend. So 20-1, Aniban Lahiri is my number one
selection.
That
plays into your theory of current form, doesn't it?
I think it's a particularly
good time to use it, given that we're on a course where no one's really done anything.
Lahiri's, in the last 12 months as well, he's elevated his game to a new standard, hasn't he, to a certain extent?
Yeah, okay.
I think he's better than he's ever been.
Yeah, he was tied fifth, wasn't he, in last season's USPGA. So he is someone who's, you know, a real bit of a trailblazer, isn't he, for Indian golf, and he can hold his own with the big guns.
Go on, give us your... You've got two small half a point each way bets on big outsiders here,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, just a theory. If it is... because it's a nod to Heathland course, as you mentioned, Walton Heath, I think it's no bad thing to maybe get an Englishman on board. There's quite a few up for selection this week. When it did hold that 2010 event, Charlie Ford, Englishman, he won it. So it's kind of a little, you know, maybe that is a theory that holds water. There's plenty to choose from. Lee Westwood, obviously. Richard Bland's in great form, although he never wins. Danny Willett, obviously. But the one I'm going to take a chance on, just because we've not an awful lot to go on, is Lee Slattery.
100-1.
Yeah. And he actually did play in this event in 2010.
Ah, that's good.
Tied 28th. Also finished 9th in this event when it was held at the other course. You saw him finish tied 12th. Where was that? It was the British Masters in England. So maybe, you know, a little nod there that he's the English outside to it. So and he is someone, isn't he, who can pop up and win.
Mike likes him.
Yeah, Mike. Perhaps I'm channeling Mike.
You'll remember him from this podcast, Mike. But he's not been here for ages.
Yeah,
has
remember
he?
Mike. Yeah. I think he is a player who can certainly crash the top five enough times to make you want to take him at big prices and in all those little elements. He's played well in Turkey before. He's actually played on this course before. A little bit of form 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's just about enough for a half point each way at 100s.
Mike will be back next week, I've been assured. So if you're looking forward to hearing Mike Grenham's tips, I'm sure he'll be back for the Ned Bank next week. I've got an Englishman I want to mention at the end as well. Hopefully that link does ring true. But my second pick is Kiridek Apibanrat as my second selection. And he's 40-1 here with William Hill. I think he's interesting this week on a course that I expect to play to his strengths. Comes into this slightly under the radar as well, given that his form hasn't been quite as hot as it was in the last few months. But there was plenty to like about his tie for fifth at the Olympics and his performance in the BMW International as well. He has had problems knitting his performances together, but hopefully that will change this week, given that he finished in a tie for 12th in his most recent event, which was the British Masters at the Grove. Closed with a 64, which sets him up quite nicely for this. And he finished third in the event last year, albeit on a different golf course. Hopefully that augurs well. So I'm going with Kiridek Apibanrat at 40-1 as my second selection. Dave Tindall.
Yeah, my second pick is probably another one of Mike's, actually, that Mike puts up from time to time. Raphael Jacquelin.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's another one at a three-figure price this week. Jacquelin, 100-1. He's someone that, down the years, you'd hardly give him a medal for consistency, would you? But every so often, he just throws in a big event, and you think, I'm not completely sure where that came from. But this week, did play really, really well in the Turkish Airlines Open at the old course, at the Montgomery course. Actually shot 62 there on the Saturday. That was kind of the big news that day, I remember. Went on to play really well there. Finished tied fifth in the end in that inaugural running. And this year, recent nice bit of form in the Portugal Masters, 66, 65, 70, 68 were his round scores, enough for tied 22nd. Again, it's just someone, I'm looking down the field, I'm thinking, who's a bit of value?
Yeah.
And Jacqueline, you always get to him. Is there maybe a reason to put him in this week? And I just think he's someone who's got a good vibe about Turkey, would probably like a bit of strategy as well. So I think 100-1. It's worth a sort of, I'd call it, file it under speculative play, but maybe they're sometimes the ones that win, aren't they? So
They are. That Englishman, by the way, that I was going to mention to you, who I like, Matthew Southgate.
I thought you might, yeah.
This week, he's 66-1 here with William Hill, which I think if you want to add another string to your bow, he would be my third selection, definitely, in this event. It's been a big year for him, hasn't it? Having secured his card with that fourth place finish in the Irish Open. And then he has gone on to have further success, which has put him inside the top 60 going into this event. Finished tied for 12th in the Open before suffering a little dip in form. But he's back playing well again, Southgate, with a tie for 7th in the Porsche European Open, followed by top 20s in the British Masters and the Portugal Masters. As you mentioned, and I've got it written down here, it's maybe good to have an Englishman on side if you think the course is going to play like some of those in the UK. And it's been an emotional year for Southgate, who, if you don't know, listeners, battled cancer to get to this point. And nobody would begrudge him the win his season deserves, really. So I thought he was a decent price at 66-1, Matthew Southgate.
Yeah, no, I agree, yeah.
Who else did you like? I've pretty much done those are the players that I fancied, two picks, and then Matthew Southgate as an honourable mention.
Yeah, to be honest, if you ask me who's closest, it won't be from this event. I couldn't really say anyone who I think, oh, I'm really close to putting him in, but I can't. I think the prices are short enough for the players at the top. Yeah, you know, 12s on Wiesberger, 14 Sullivan, that's kind of...
He played well in Portugal, didn't he, Sullivan?
He did,
struck the ball really well, but didn't put well.
But then he'd won there by 9 the previous year, so maybe that's quite specific to Portugal, possibly. Hatton, obviously, won the Alfred Dunhill Links, playing well. But Fleetwood's, you know, maybe 1 week, but his putter's never quite convincing enough. So no one really, no one's really jumped off the page.
Let's move on then to the PGA Tour event, and it's the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, and the market headed by Ryan Moore, who is 16-1. Brooks Koepka is 20s, John Rahm is 25s, Chris Kirk 28-1, at 25s, Francesco Molinari and Kevin Na. Scott Piercy is 28s, it's 33-1 Billy Horschel and 40-1 and bigger the remainder. And we return to TPC Summerlin in Las Vegas once again for the Shriners. And last year's event was incredible. Smiley Kaufman trailed by 7 going into Sunday's final round, but a closing 61 saw him take his first PGA Tour title. It was a classic case of leaderboard pressure. A few of those in behind were serial non-winners. Kaufman posted a number and held on. And scoring was a little more difficult last year as well than it had been in previous years, with Kaufman posting 16 under par en route to the title. Prior to that, the 5 editions previous, the winning score had been 20 under or lower. So an interesting wrinkle there, I suppose, with the winning score being 16 under last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's generally, I mean, it is a resort course in Vegas. I mean, a lot of the traffic that goes through there is just sort of, you know, blokes wanting a game and a bit of business talk.
Yeah.
So they're not going to make it too hard, are they? So unless there's terrible weather. I mean, obviously it can get really windy in Las Vegas, but I would expect scoring to be very low again.
I would as well. Is there anything that statistically stands out for you here? What are you looking for this week, Dave?
Probably it's more the timing and the schedule, really, to me, than the actual physical golf course. I think it's, if you're playing well, you know, you played well there before. One little thing to remember is at altitude, Vegas, so the ball does fly further. So those who've played there before and have got the numbers, you know, the caddies worked it out, that might be a little bit of advantage. I remember Jim Furyk won this about 3 times, so it can be a bit horses for courses. So maybe that, but the course itself, I think you can blast it, but I don't think that's the only way to skin the cat. Generally, putt well, you know, slow, hit the greens, set yourself up all those 10 to 15 footers, and if you can hold them.
Form in the desert as well, I think, it's advantageous, isn't it, if you played well in desert conditions. And as you mentioned, I don't think length is necessarily a factor around this golf course, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it never is.
Either.
Yeah.
And the winner's going to have to make a ton of birdies as well this week. I've got a couple of picks.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, you lead off this time.
Yeah, I'm going to lead off with the guy who actually won this tournament 2 years ago, Ben Martin.
Okay.
We've got him at 66-1, which I think is a nice price on the former winner.
Yeah.
When he won in 2014, he shot a third round 62, which is great, isn't it? It shows you can shoot low numbers. He actually shot a 62 recently as well at the John Deere when he was runner-up. So he's a guy who can go really low. Again, he played well earlier this year at the Barracuda, which is also in Nevada. And he actually came out with a little quote. My win came in Vegas in the state of Nevada this week, so I have good vibes out here. So he's right. Someone clearly likes Nevada desert-style golf. And he warmed up nicely as well with a tied 18th at the Sanderson Farms last week. Best two rounds were on the weekend, 68-68, so that should set him up nicely. I just think all in all, he's a good player. Just to show that he can go low. He was 29th in par breakers last season, which is a combination of birdies and eagles. So I always like. It's one of those ones you think you've got all the angles in on a player, and then you scroll and, oh, he was 185th on par breakers. So it puts you off a bit. But so to find him at number 29th, good. That's the sort of final piece of the jigsaw, maybe. So yeah, Ben Martin at 66 is
very good. You've convinced me there. I like that price at 66-1. I'm looking at the head of the market though. I'm going with the man John Rahm as my headline selection here. I think he's going to be a superstar. So anytime I can get him at 25-1 in a field of this strength or lack thereof, I'm going to take it. And given the way he performed at the Safeway on his previous start, I think he's a good bet this week. He finished tied 15th, but that didn't tell the full story. He ranked second in strokes gained tee to green, and his work around the greens was very solid as well. He just didn't put that well. But he's got form in the desert, finished tied 5th in the Phoenix Open in 2015, and he's well attuned to the conditions the players are going to face at TPC Summerlin, given that he went to Arizona State University. He's actually placed on 2 of his 9 starts last season. He's only going to get better and better. And I think, is it 10 of the last 14 winners of this event have been first-time winners on tour? I think that's the stat.
That's about right.
That sounds about right. I've written that down without actually double-checking, but I think that's the stat. So this venue has treated first-timers particularly well in the last couple of decades. So I'm going John Rahm at 25-1, basically because I think he's going to be a star. So I'll play him a point each way at 25s.
Yeah, my second pick, well, hopefully the first-timer thing will work with him, Grayson Murray.
Yes.
I think we talked about him last week. We certainly mentioned him alongside Gribble, and he was considerably shorter, wasn't he, than Cody Gribble last week.
Same price this week, both 50
yeah.
to 1.
So Gribble's come down, obviously, on the back of the win. He's gone out from, I think he was 33s maybe last week, even 28s possibly.
Yeah, he was around about that mark.
Yeah, so for him to go, I mean, why should really, have he gone out that much? Because he played really well last week. He was the halfway leader. Open 67-65. Okay, he didn't get it done, but he went into that final round only a shot behind Gribble, and it just wasn't his day. But I thought to come tied 8th already is a really good start to your PGA Tour life. And obviously, he was shorter than Gribble because he'd played so well at the end of the web.com season. He'd got a win and a third place. So he is someone who I do like the look of it. In that, is it, how do you pronounce it? Is it Boise Open or Boise?
Yes, Boise.
Boise.
Yes, that's Boise.
Boise. He shot a 60, he shot a pair of weekend 64s.
Right, okay.
At the Boise Open. So again, that's great. Someone can go low. Obviously that 65 I mentioned earlier at last week's course. So those are the low numbers you really need to try and crack TP Summerlin. And again, I just think this is an event for these types of players. I mean, you've gone Rahm. It's an ideal opportunity, isn't it? I remember, I think this was Tiger's first win, wasn't it? I think Tiger won this at 40-1.
Right.
On about his third PGA Tour start. He was in the playoff with Davis Love. And it was one of those ones, well, we think he's all going to be great, but is it too soon for him? No, he went and won in the playoff. So maybe this, not that any of these guys are going to be a Tiger Woods, but it is an obvious opportunity. I also looked as well, at the guys who've played in China, because I think this has slightly moved in schedule. So before, if you look back, the tournament after the HSBC one was the Mayakoba.
Okay.
So, but I looked at the HSBC, the three winners after that each year all hadn't played in China.
Right.
So I think it's a slight negative if you did play at Shenzhen last week, because it's a pretty wild time difference, isn't it?
It's a
massive time difference.
Yeah,
I mean, I know golfers kind of get used to it, but maybe there's something in that. It's a long, old journey. Mm. So those guys that you might have been looking at, like Ryan Moore or Koepka or Scott Piercy, I think it's just a slight
I think it's changed slightly in the last decade, hasn't it? Given they've got like nutritionists and the game's evolved slightly, hasn't it? So I think that might have changed slightly, but I get
your
point.
Yeah, I'm not putting everything on it, but it just helps sort of go away from some of those if you think, well, they're borderline anyway at the prices. So yeah, I'm going to go with Grayson Murray at 50-1.
I've got one from a similar ilk. We've been talking about Murray and Rahm. Yeah. I'm going with Michael Kim at 100-1 as my second selection here. I think he's a big price at 100-1. He's not really realised his potential yet. After he did finish leading amateur in the 2013 US Open.
Yeah. Rose's one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it was. It Justin Rose's one? Yeah. 2013. And that was a big boy golf course as well, wasn't it? Merion. It was Merion, wasn't it? Merion, Justin Rose, yeah. And I think that he's only 23 years old. I think there's still plenty in the tank, plenty to come for Michael Kim. He managed to just cling on to his card after finishing 118th in the FedEx Cup race last season. That will have given him a huge boost, won't it, going into this year. And he took advantage in his first start of the season. Finished tied for third at the Safeway, despite opening up with a round of 73. He's not that long off the tee, but he puts well. And his second best finish of last season came in this event when he finished in a tie for 16th. Slightly from left field, this one, but I think 100-1 is good value on Michael Kim this week. So he's my second selection.
Yeah, jolly good.
I suppose we're on to the honourable mentions then now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a definite honourable mention is Kevin Streelman. Just if you're looking for someone who come out a load of birdies in bunches, he definitely can. He famously won the Travelers, didn't he, with 7 birdies to finish, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
He had another rash of them last week, 18-12, during an open in 63.
50-1 he is, by the way.
The Sanderson Farms. And he's got a really good record in Vegas. If you look, I think he's had 5 straight top 25s there. So he does like to play attacking golf where he can set up those birdie chances, knocking those mid-range putts. So I think he would be. He came closest to me.
Martin Laird.
Yeah, he's probably next closest. Yeah. Yes.
40-1 he is. I think 40-1 is fair on Martin Laird. We have him down as a bit of a desert rat, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, certainly.
Won this event in 2009, second when defending in 2010 as well.
Playoff, wasn't it, yeah.
And he played well last when you tipped him in the Safeway Open a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Finished tied for 8th. So Martin Laird looks rock solid, doesn't he, at 40-1? Yeah, he's one of those where if you play in top 10, top 20 markets, you'd think that he's going to have a good week.
Yeah, he's had other good form in the desert as well. So it doesn't and never quite work that one out as he, you know, from Scotland, but maybe he's just enjoying a bit of sunshine. But
he went to university in the States, didn't he? Martin Laird, I'm sure he did. Yeah. So I think maybe that's...
I suppose he's been there
long
enough.
Yeah, he's been there long enough now, hasn't he?
But it's certainly a style of golf that seems to suit him. So yeah, he was...
He's got that ridiculously high ball flight, hasn't he, yeah. Martin Laird? So I think that kind of works well in the desert. 40-1 for Martin Laird. Who's the player you don't want to win this week?
I'd probably say Kevin Streelman.
Yeah, I'd go Martin Laird in this event.
Yeah.
And Matthew Southgate in the event in Turkey this week, I think, is my players I don't want to win. Who came closest to making the cut anyway? Dave, recap your selections for this week.
Yeah, so in the Turkish Airlines Open, I'm going to go for 0.5 each way on Lee Slattery at 100-1 and also 0.5 each way on Rafael Jacquelin at 100-1. Then in the
Shriners.
I was about to say Las Vegas. I keep wanting to say Las Vegas. But it is in Las Vegas, let's be honest. 66-1 Ben Martin, a point each way.
Yep.
And also a point each way on Grayson Murray. I keep wanting to say Grayson Perry as well.
50-1.
Yeah.
I'm going a point each way on all of these, in fact. I'm going a point each way on Aniban Lahiri at 20-1 in Turkey, along with Kiradek Apibanarat at 40-1. And in the Shriners, a point each way, John Rahm at 25s, and a point each way, Michael Kim at 100-1. Thank you for listening, folks. Do follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. Make sure you check out this podcast via iTunes, and you can download all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com as well. Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Good luck with your golf betting here with William Hill this week. And myself and Dave will be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.